Yeah, well, you were touching on, you know, on some of that, which would be, you know, if you're caught up in, you know, particularly an art like poetry, you would be crazy, you know, to think of it in terms of a payoff, a financial payoff, you know. Now, there's a certain confusion that's come in, you know, because writing poetry, creative writing, you know, has taken on a professional character, but without the same kind of outcome. You know, that's what really you're, you know, so you go through a creative writing program, you know, and the only financial outcome of any value that can result, you know, is to teach others. You know, so it's the teaching. You know, any of us would be crazy to think that, you know, we were going to support ourselves. The teaching becomes enmeshed, you know, maybe too enmeshed, you know, with the whole process of, you know, of being writers. You know, but I know for myself, right off the bat, you know, it was clear, you know, that I wanted to. I felt driven to, you know, to write, and you know, and particularly to, you know, to write poetry. And, you know, but, you know, it was clear to me, it was certainly clear to my family, you know, that, you know, that no goods would come from this. You know, some good maybe, but no goods would come from this. You know, but, you know, but if you feel, you know, that, you know, that, you know, that, that need along with the desire, you know, desire and, you know, a sense of needing to do this and, you know, the creative writing programs, you know, can help, but, you know, but watch out. Be open to influence, you know, but not to direction. Yeah, yeah, I could go on also to talk about, you know, was brought home to me first, you know, rather aggressively by the poet Robert Duncan from here, you know, that didn't feel an anxiety of influence, as the great critic named it, you know, but not an anxiety of influence, you know, but a desire to be influenced, to absorb, you know, as much as you could absorb, you know, and not to, you know, not to be fearful, you know, that somehow it was going to crimp your style or your originality. You know, the originality comes from that perspective, you know, in some relationship, you know, to the, you know, the joy of influence. Oh, to be influenced. Well, certainly you think of it, you know, as a gift. I mean, if it's, you know, if it's, I mean, you can ironically dedicate, you know, I could, that poem, you know, America 2017, you know, if I dedicated it to Donald Trump, you know, that wouldn't be a gift, it would be, you know, a curse. But yeah, no. Mostly a gift, and in some instances, a desire to reflect a connection to the other person. So, you know, one can dedicate the. If I dedicate a poem to the Spanish poet Lorca, it's not a gift to Lorca. Lorca's been, you know, been dead, you know, but I want to because of, you know, something in the poem. You know, I want to connect Lorca's name to that. You know, so you know, maybe even in a certain sense to display my unoriginality.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It rather strikes me that if you talk about gift, you know, you're talking about sort of mouse and gift theory and stuff like that, that in a way, when you're dedicating, you're reciprocating, having felt that you've gotten a gift.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Then the writing of a poem is the reciprocation.
Yeah. Well, even if I write, you know, to a poet from another time, yeah, that's
what I mean.
Generally say, you know, this poet is given, and for contemporaries also, you know, it, generally the dedicated poems are gifted to those who have gifted me.
It's, yeah. An, yeah,
it's an acknowledgement that's
or influenced.
Hmm?
Or influenced.
Or influenced, yeah.
It's completing the gift cycle. You know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's good. And then, you know, there are the dedications of whole books. You know, books get dedicated, so that's it's an acknowledgement of you know, someone who has been important to me, either in my life or in the making of this particular work. Or yeah, why I said that.
Yeah,
I don't remember the exact context, so let me think of why I might have said that. It's what I'm echoing there is, you know, is a religious statement, you know, on my faith as a Jew, on my faith as a Christian, on my faith as a Muslim. So there I want to say that in the absence of or beyond those other, you know, familiar systems to which one expresses some fealty, some fidelity, you know, there is poetry. And although I may sometimes get irritated with it, well, you know, the great Marion Moore poem, I too dislike it. You know, and there's, you know, there's, I keep quiet about it most of the time, but, you know, but there is some poetry that I dislike, but that's because I have another sense of poetry that is not satisfied by it. And then there are other times, you know, because we're inconsistent, when it seems to me, my God, anybody, you know, who devotes a life to writing poetry, you know, screw it. You know, why should I quibble about whether, you know, it's the right kind of poetry or the wrong kind of poetry? You know, I mean, there is, you know, and that comes down also to, you know, by my faith as, you know, one should just, you know, celebrate anybody who, you know, in a, you know, serious, playful, determined way, gives himself or herself to a life as a poet. You know, that's probably enough. There's a famous, you know, so I was talking about David Anton before, you know, the famous quotation from David Anton is, I think I know the poets he names. If you tell me that Robert Frost is a poet, I don't want to be a poet. If you tell me that Robert Lowell is a poet, I don't want to be a poet. If you tell me Socrates is a poet, I'll think about it. You know, and so, you know, David is binding up, you know, the break between philosophy and poetry, you know, that Plato pointed to and seemed to advocate in the Republic. And that's why I mentioned David's connection to Wittgenstein, the philosopher, 20th century, you know, who also described philosophy as being, should be written as a kind of poetry. So, you know, that raises all sorts of, you know, what is poet, but that's, you know, when one is enamored of poetry, then one wants questions about it. Makes it more interesting.
In the poem to the female aspect of God, that was a translation, yes.
Yeah, that was a translation. So somebody helped me with the Aramaic. Helped me.
So is the term surcease of sorrow, is it just a coincidence that that's in the Raven as well? Or is there some importance to that term?
No, I was... we do things like, you know, slipping in terms, from other poems. Don't overdo it, but and I sounds good. Surcease of sorrow. It's a sort of waiting all those years until I can put that into a poem of mine. Corey. Well, the two back there, Jake Marmer and Ariel Reznikoff. Not unrelated.
Which is which?
So probably
we can go home.
Thank you.